Blog Talk Radio.
Let your will be done in all things, even when you must bear suffering.
Your will is for good alone, and you will set everything right. Help us, Lord. Bless us through your word, through everything we are allowed to hear from you, our God and our Father. And we pray this in our mighty precious name, of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay, well, I got some callers. I'm gonna take you first before I do the message. That way you can sit there and listen to it. Let me take the first caller, 617. You on the air, 617.
Hello, my brother. I would like to say I'm sorry to hear that Pastor Kent has quit on you and your Rainbow Ministry.
Yes, it's a shame. It's a shame.
I'd say he's still probably butthurt that Tony F. put him in his place.
Could be.
And I will say it was pretty funny, but I was calling him mostly to say hi and maybe... Maybe get a prayer in as well.
Okay, yeah. Do you need prayer?
I'm sorry.
Say what?
Could you repeat that, please? I didn't hear you.
I said, do you need prayer?
Oh, yeah. I need some prayer. At least on good luck for my moving. I'm moving to another country.
Okay. All right. Well, we pray for our brother here. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, let's take another call. We have 111. Hello, 111. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, Big Pastor Kent, what's up?
Why do you call me Big Pastor?
Because you know you're not the real one.
Well, it turns out that I am the real one, and the fake one is actually locked up in a cage. Kenny.
Okay.
Or you need to call in. But, Kenny, I wanted to tell you that I am glad that we are doing shows together again, eh? I am glad that we are able to get together on this glorious Monday and do a show when the other Kent is doing what you used to do. He is living your former life. Is he not, Kenny?
No.
Yes, he is. He is locked up in a cage and pooping in a helmet and having sex with his roommate that is 17 years old named Victor. Or wait, he's 16. And he's actually making love to a man because I have Charm here with me. And Charm, like I said, likes it when I put it in her anus. Same as you do, Kenny. You like the A2M, the Tuma. And I don't know why Tony F. insists on doing the ATM on you. How does his...
Okay. So anyway, goodbye, Pastor Kent. God bless you. Okay, I'm gonna put on some music here, and then I'm gonna do the message. Amen. Okay, well, let's put on some music.
Come the day when I arrive. this is demolition day. All the debris and all this dust, what is left of what was worth, sorting through what goes and what should stay. Every stone I laid for you, as if you had asked me to. Monument to holy things, empty talk and circling, isn't that what we're supposed to?
Working hard, providing for her three kids.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's get into the message. I got a great message lined up for you. Okay. It's called Death, Dispersion, and Delight, and we're continuing in Genesis. We're going now to chapter 4, verses 1 through 26. The theme of this chapter, we find heartbreak and hope. The first section is the two sons in verses 1 and 2. The second section is the timely sacrifices in verses 3 to 5. The third section is the truthful signal in verses 6 and 7. The fourth section is the terrible slaying in verses 8 and 9. And the fifth section is the tragic sentences in verses 10 to 12. And then we have in section 6, the tearful suggestion in verses 13 and 15. And in section 7, the strong spreads in verses 16 to 22. And then we have in section 8, the troublesome scenario in verses 23 to 24. And then the last section is section 9, is the triumphant seed in verses 25 to 26. So the first three chapters are all about creation and the first couple, but things began to turn away from Adam and Eve since they were driven from the Garden of Eden. In this chapter, we read about childbirth, then we read about denial and failure, but then man's fallen nature kicks in and bitterness and jealousy takes center stage, leading to murder and judgment. Once Abel was murdered, the descendants of Cain will be an ungodly line of heathens that will wholly reject the very God of Adam and Eve. I am amazed at the swiftness of man's fall from being believers in God. Ultimately, we read of Eve's having another son, and he will begin a new line of godly believers. And through him, the promise of God will be fulfilled. Let's look at the two sons. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. In Genesis 4, 2, and she began to bear his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep. But Cain was the tiller of the ground. I wonder if Eve may have had daughters before this, or maybe daughters in between the births of Cain and Abel. Eve conceives a male child from the Lord, and I think that she is gleeful and joyful, filled with hope that this is the one that will bring fallen man back into his original state. I think that eating from the forbidden fruit haunted Eve until the day that she died. God had promised her that through her seed there will come one that will crush the head of a serpent, so she thought that Cain would be that man. But she was incorrect. that would not occur for many thousand years later. The firstborn son of Adam and Eve was Cain, and in time they had another son, and he would be called Abel. I've often wondered what it was like for those two boys to grow up and to have a world as their playground, and it to be a new adventure each and every day. The shepherd and the keeper of sheep, Abel, was pastoral. And Genesis chapter 4, 2a, and she began bearing his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep. In the Garden of Eden, we find God killing an animal and using his skin to clothe Adam and Eve. Now we find Abel becoming a shepherd, one of the oldest occupations known to man. I don't think he merely attended to the sheep. There was a vast need for this occupation. Firstly, man had to be clothed. Secondly, man had to offer up annual sacrifices to the Lord. And thirdly, some think that man may have used these slain sheep for food. This is highly debatable due to God informing Noah that it was okay for man to eat meat after the flood. So Abel was a shepherd. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Elisha was a prophet, was a shepherd. Amos the prophet was also a shepherd. And Jesus Christ was the greatest shepherd of all. The sower and the tiller of the soil, Cain, was agricultural. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain was a farmer, and he tilled the land. The earth would no longer just produce food with no effort, so Cain became the first known farmer in the history of mankind, though he may have learned his profession from Adam. Let's look at section 2, the timely sacrifices in verses 3 and 5. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Genesis 4, chapter verse 4, and Abel also brought of his firstling of the flock and fat thereof, and the Lord respect unto Abel and to his offering. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and conscience fell. Fallen man is now going about his daily affairs. Adam and Eve were obviously birthing other children. We will say more about this in coming verses. The earth is now being conquered by mankind. They are bringing the sheep into subjection, and the earth is being worked to bring forth food. The annual offering in 3a. It seems that there is a prescribed time and place for mankind to offer an offering to the Lord. We do not know if this was weekly, monthly, or even yearly. But we do know that they offered their offerings at a very specific time, and most likely in a specific place. In all probability, it was a yearly sacrifice, though some think it was weekly and took place on the Sabbath. I do not think that it was weekly because the scenario did not fit. Surely this was not something that Cain did on the very first Sabbath, but most likely occurred at a time when the boys were much older, and they were now required by the Lord to offer up their own sacrifices. There comes a time when each person must stand before the Lord on their own merit and not that of their mother or fathers. The appealing opportunity. Mankind now had a broad and wondrous opportunity to give back to the Lord, to show their thankfulness and gratefulness to him for not destroying mankind. The Lord must have clearly informed Adam as to how sacrifices would be offered up, and there would be no deviation from his instructions. The sacrifice would be a blood sacrifice because this was the only kind that the Lord would accept. Nothing else would work or be acceptable. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law, purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there's no remission. The Lord set the parameters of this offering. He was the administrator of the plan of salvation. The shedding of a lamb's blood was not sufficient to save man, but it would be acceptable agenda until the proper proposition can be made for the sin of the world. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a proposition through faith in his blood, declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let's look at adverse outcomes in 4 and 5a. In Genesis 4, 4, the Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock, and the fat thereof, and the Lord respected unto Abel and his offering. The Bible begins with this acceptable sacrifice, which is that of Abel, the younger brother. And Abel was a shepherd at the appropriate time. He took one of the lambs, he slew it, and bringing his blood before the Lord, offered it upon an altar. It was a bloody sacrifice. He took the blood of the body of the lamb and offered it to the Lord. The Lord delighted himself in the offering of Abel, and he accepted it. In Genesis 4:3, that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. And in Genesis 4:5a, but unto Cain, unto his offering, he had not respect. So Cain may have believed in God. I don't think this can be disputed. But he was not willing to obey the instructions of God. At the appointed time, Cain brought an offering of the first fruits from his harvest and did not bring leftovers to the Lord. Not at all. He brought forth award-winning fruit. It was fruit that he had labored over, sweated over, worried over. Harvested fruit was something that he was extremely proud of and deemed to be worthy of a sacrifice. But did the Lord agree with this assessment? The Lord denied himself in accepting the offering of Cain. Why did he do so? Cain failed to offer up a blood sacrifice. He reverted back to the religion of fig leaves, hoping this would be enough to cover up his spiritual nakedness and allow him to be in good standing before the Lord. In Jude chapter 1, verse 11, woe unto him for that have gone away of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Gore. The way of Cain is his way of flesh and not the way of faith. Cain came to the Lord with works from his own hand and deviated from the blood. Cain decided that he knew better than God as to how to offer a sacrifice. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for thy being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It has been proposed that Cain and Abel were twins, but as John Vernon McGee says, they were even closer than that, seeing that they had no bloodstream that reached back on both sides that might cause a difference. Here we have two sons from the first family with one of the purest bloodlines that has ever been produced. Yet they were diversely different, one that chose to follow God while the other chose to ignore God and follow Satan. The angry obstinance. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, Cain was very wroth and his conscience fell. Cain is a stiff-necked person. He is what the Old Testament calls a son of Belial. He would be likened unto Nabal that refused to take consideration of peace and meekness. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 17, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. So Abel refused to submit to the Lord. Rather, he became exceedingly angry, and you could tell by looking at him because his anger shined forth all over his face, and it was easy to see that he was mad at the Lord. Abel was much like King Ahasuerus, which allowed his anger to make him make unwise and unnecessary decisions. But the Queen of Vashti came to the kingdom commanded by this chamberlain, and therefore was king very wroth, and anger burned in him. Hurt leads to bitterness, bitterness to anger, travel too far that road, the way is lost. People who fly into rage also make a bad landing. Let's look at section 3, the truthful signal, in verses 6 and 7. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy kindness fallen? And in Genesis 4, 7, if thou dost well, thou shalt not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, and sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be the desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Lord's appeal. The Lord addresses the anger and wrath of Cain in asking him why he is angry and why his countenance has changed. The Lord knew the answer to the question, but he needed Cain to admit his anger and his bitter attitude. Cain was angry and bitter due to being jealous of his brother and because the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice but denied his sacrifice. Let's look at the necessary action. The Lord has given Cain some much-needed advice. though he orderly rejects it as his soon slays his brother, God gives him the chance to offer up another sacrifice, and if he does so, then he will surely be accepted and all is well. But if he fails to heed this advice, the sin is awaiting him. The Lord is now warning Cain that he either could choose submission or could choose sin. If he submits to God's advice, he would be in good standing with the Lord, but if not, sin is crouching and ready to pounce upon him. John MacArthur gives the following commentary. He says, you can't either repent and do what's right, and I'll forgive you, and your face will be lifted up, or you can just keep doing what you're doing and just hold on to your sin. And if you're going to fight it all your life, it isn't going to be like a hungry lion waiting to chew you up. And your whole life is going to be a battle to master sin. By the way, this is the same phrase at the end of verse 7 that is used in verse 16 of chapter 3. Remember that the curse was on the woman. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. It's the exact same phrase that describes the curse, which is the conflict of marriage. He said to Cain, look, if you don't do what's right, then you're going to live your life trying to master sin. And sin is going to be like a predatory lion trying to devour you, and you're trying to control it. That's how you're going to live your life, unsuccessfully. And that's the curse. The curse is the woman is going to have a sort of predatory desire toward the man, and he's going to have a battle to subdue that. That's the conflict of marriage among the unregenerate. And we'll look at that in detail at the text. The curse of the marriage was conflict. The woman trying to get control, the woman being, as it were, a predator, trying to pounce and take every inch of power of territory she can get, and man's constantly trying to subdue, and that's the conflict of marriage among the fallen. Only to be really reversed in the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the same, the truth is true in the personal life. Either you come to God and your sins are forgiven and you are delivered out of that realm of sin into a world of righteousness, or you spend your whole life in a losing war trying to master this lion that wants to chew you up and spit you out. So how can a hopeless sinner ever gain moral control over his life and defeat sin? Can't, right? Can't. So God says to Abel, either you come to me and do what is right, or you lose the battle your whole life. You have a choice. Let's look at section 4, the terrible slaying, in verses 8 and 9. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and Cain talked with his Abel brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, and my brother's keeper. In the first 11 verses of this chapter, we find the words brother or sister, or brother seven times, which defines completion of the ending of the story. The life of Abel is going to end, and the life of Cain is going to be one of eternal heartache and heartbreak. The concealed conversation. It seems that Cain acted as if nothing were wrong as he went about his day, today life. Then he asked his brother Abel to go with him into a field, and unbeknownst to Abel, his brother had a gruesome agenda in the works. Though God has sternly warned Cain, he is proceeding headfirst toward the gates of hell, and there is no turning back. The confusing crime. Cain commits the first murder of mankind. As he murders his brother in a field, there is much ado as to where this field was located. But none of us can validate its whereabouts. Abel is absolutely innocent, yet Cain is set on murdering him and is now acting upon his premeditated plan. We do not know how he killed his brother, but the Bible says that he killed him with intent. The consensus conversation. The Lord now speaks to Cain as to the brother's whereabouts, and the conversation is very contentious, because Cain has now rejected God and his followers. I find it sad that once Adam and Eve fell into the Garden of Eden, we have no real record of their lives, their whereabouts, or anything else. I wonder how they felt knowing that Cain killed his brother. Cain refuses to acknowledge his crime and does not feel as if he has to answer to the Lord. He is contentious, he is rebellious, and he was jealous. He refuses to discuss the matter with God. He will soon pay for his crime. Let's look at section 5, the tragic sentencing, in verses 10 to 12. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of the brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And Genesis chapter 4, 11, "And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." And Genesis 4, verse 12, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall be henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth." Cain ignored the warning of the Lord, and now he's going to pay for his stubbornness and sinfulness. He was rebellious and jealous, so the decision will now lead to disaster and death. The bloody cry. God confronts Cain as the death of his brother. There is one thing that is eternally true. If you sin, your sin will surely find you out. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, "But if you shall not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Let's look at the bitter curse. Cain took so much pride in his earthly harvest, and due to the Lord's rejection of his earthly offering, he became so jealous of Abel that he killed him. The Lord then takes the very thing that Cain deemed worthy of death away from him. God saw fit to place a curse upon Cain, and the very ground that produces prideful harvests would forever be cursed no matter where he traveled or what he tried to do. There would never be another harvest that came from the earth for him. His days of being a farmer were over. His barren curse. God ensured that Cain would never be a farmer again. No matter where he traveled, the earth would be barren. He was labeled a fugitive and a vagabond. There would never be a place called home for him again. "A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be. Thou shalt be expelled from the presence of God and from thy family connections. And thou shalt have no fixed, secure residence in any place. The subject and remainder is to say, again, thou shalt be groaning and troubling upon the earth. The horror of thy crime shall haunt thee, and thou shalt never have any well-grounded hope. The God will remit the punishment thou deservest. No state out of endless perdition can be considered more awful than this." In Proverbs chapter verses 28, verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Let's look at section 6, the cheerful suggestion, in verses 13 through 15. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." In Genesis chapter 4, verse 14, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." In Genesis chapter 4, verse 15, "The Lord said unto him, Therefore whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." So Cain has now been judged by the Lord, and his sentence is enormous. He is now an outcast, evicted from his family. The earth would no longer yield any food for him, and he is a fugitive and a vagabond. Let's look at the mighty appeal. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." So Cain was one of the most hard-headed and stubborn people to have ever lived. Here he is appealing to God about his punishment rather than repenting for his sinfulness. He could have just as easily repented and asked for forgiveness, but he preferred to have his punishment eased. The mounting anguish. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 14, "Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and vagabond in the earth, and shall it come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." So Cain has been banished from the very face of God, and the Lord would no longer appear to him again during his lifetime. Though there would be a day in eternity's future where he would stand before the Lord as a rejected sinner, He was also fearful for his life, wondering if people would try to kill him as he wanders about the earth. It seems that at this time the population of the earth had blossomed, and Cain knew he would encounter other people. The phrase, "everyone finding me," implies that the family of Adam had now become numerous. Not only the sons and daughters, but their children and grandchildren may have been growing up when Cain was sent into exile. But in this, but in his present terror, even excited with fancy suggestions, an enemy at every turn. The merciful alleviation in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Up until this time, there was no law. Man had been living in a state of innocence. But that is until the fall of mankind. Cain was a sinner, and he had now killed his brother. This sin could not go unpunished. The Lord assures that nobody will kill Cain for murdering of his brother. The earth was no populated other than sons and daughters of Adam, and even most likely grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. The Lord places a sevenfold punishment upon anyone that killed Cain. The Lord ensured the protection upon Cain by placing a mark upon him. And, of course, the first thing people ask is, what was this mark? The Lord set a mark upon Cain. What is this mark was? Had you... has given rise to a number of fervently curious conjectures. Dr. Shuckburg collects that the most remarkable, some say, he was paralytic. This seems to be arisen from the version of subject side, groaning and trembling thou shalt be. And the Targum of Jonathan, Ben Uzal, says, signed from the great and precious name, probably one of the letters of the word Jehovah, the author of Arcantia, and Bellini Library says, a sword cannot pierce him, fire cannot burn him, water cannot drown him, the air cannot blast him, nor could thunder or lightning strike him. To mark him would have been the most likely way to have brought all the evils he dreaded upon him. Therefore, the Lord gave him some miraculous sign or token that he should not be slain, to the end that he should not despair, but having time to repent, might return to a gracious God and find mercy. Okay, well, I hope you found this sermon to be pleasant, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, amen. Alrighty, let's give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama. Amen. Bless you, Juan. Okay, let's play some music.
Carry the flame from you. talk about it. Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears. I heard a lot of words that have tickled many ears. That's why I praise God for the word of being here. The word became flesh, lived for 30 years. Died at 33, but after days reappeared. Jesus Christ anointed one and pinned it in the ear. Or you could say the heir, where the Father made him heir. Of all things, the throne, no one's more than a chair. But after all redemption, yes, he did take a chair. Greater than the angels and superior to theirs. This is evil, evil.
Chapter 1, Mr. Chaos.
I'm leaning to the right. The light is where I'm running. I thought I wanted light. Tucked out and blooded. But all I really wanted was the one who really wanted. Caught death beat. He gave his life to the public. I love you.
had a choice, you would rather be anyone else. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way you made your precious heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. I know it's hard to hear it when that anger in your spirit is pointed like an arrow at your chest. When the voices in your mind are anything but kind, and you can't believe your father knows best. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he's shaping your heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. So how does it end when the war that you're in is just you against you against you? Gotta learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too. Expect to be perfect, it's a fight you gotta forfeit. You belong to me, whatever you do. So lay down your weapon, darling, take a deep breath and believe that I love you. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself.
If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you will not have a chance to do so. All you have to do is simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins, and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of the Lord. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said this prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you will tell us that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. All righty. Let's bring on 111 caller. 111, you're on the air.
Hey, Kenny, it's Mike. How you doing?
All right, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I'm hanging in there. I've had a couple of things I wanted to comment on. The first thing was Pastor Kent. I guess he just ran away because a couple guys called him Sugar Cookie, and he ran away. And I have to say, he's a total wimp. I wanted to use some other words, but I won't use those swear words. I think you know what I mean. But to run away and just be a B-word, a crybaby, you know, he'd probably call the cops if a bird landed on his front porch. I mean, what a friggin' wimp that guy is. So I was disappointed in him. I saw a thing, and this is a real thing, not to bring this up on your show, but I wanted to anyway. On the internet, again, this is a real thing in Africa, women blow air up cows' butts to get it to produce milk, and this is a real thing. I mean, even the one cow was taking a dump, and the woman runs right up, puts her cow on her mouth on the cow's ass and blowing air in there, and they get it to milk it. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm really impressed by guys like you because of your outreach. There are people in the world who really have problems. So when some of us sit around and complain about our problems, you're not over there having to do that to cows to get it to produce milk. So we're lucky over here, and I appreciate all of your outreach that you've done over the years. Now that I've got that out of the way, couple other quick things. Number one, I talked to a guy who spoke with Doug. And from what I was told, Doug had a bad relapse. He's been drinking a lot. He got drunk and was driving, and he spilled his beer. He drove into a pond, and I guess he swam out. He was doing the little doggy paddle, but because of his height, he was immediately taken to Children's Hospital. But then they took him to jail when they realized he was Doug and he was an adult. And so I guess he is going to do some time. And I'm worried about Doug in jail. He's not a very smart person, so he'll probably get taken advantage of. But he can probably make some of that Pruno in there and get drunk. Have you heard from Doug at all?
No, I have not. No.
Okay, well, that's what I got that he's back in jail with the drunk driving. But so we'll have to see if that's the truth or not long term. Also, in other news, Tony Gaga is back, from what I was told last night. I actually spoke to him personally, and he's going to try to come back and do a couple of shows each month. So that's big news for the Tony Talk fans. That's huge news for some of the Blog Talk Radio fans. He actually had some other interesting things to say. He said that Farrar, I don't know, I guess this might have been a few years ago, that Farrar, I know you're not into Halloween, but that Farrar wears horns and black robes and a pentagram G-string for Halloween. Does he do the satanic dress-up stuff? That's not true?
No.
Okay, well, you know Tony, maybe he was just mad at him. The other thing Tony was saying about Farrar is he was saying he's a Marin, and I said, well, what do you mean a Marin? He said, M-A-R-E-N. He said, you've heard of a Karen. He said, a Mexican Karen is a Marin. Farrar is a Marin, M-A-R-E-N. So he's saying that Frittata is a Marin. And, I thought it was funny. I laughed a little bit last night, but I don't think Farrar is going to be too happy that he's saying Frittata is a Marin. I don't think he'll be too happy with that. But anyhow, Tony's back, and looking forward to some Tony talk, and certainly appreciate you doing a show in Tony's absence, because he did run out on us for quite a while, so we appreciate you doing your shows. Do you have any other callers on the line?
Yes, I do, actually. I actually have Cobra Jeff. On the air, Cobra.
Hello, I didn't know I pressed one. Oh, how's it going, everybody?
All right, how's it going, everybody?
Not too bad. Just tuning into you, I guess, while I'm laying in bed, getting ready for bed. Just tuning into this godly program. How are you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I guess we no longer have Pastor Kent with us anymore.
I heard that he's working at a bakery right now.
No, he's not working at a bakery. He's not making sugar cookies, he's working at a meat processing plant.
Oh, so he's packed. Oh, so he's a meat packer.
Yeah.
He packs meat. Okay. It all makes sense now. Okay. I didn't know he switched to working at a meat factory. That's some news.
Yeah, he's working at a meat processing plant. Yep.
So he, like, takes Like, you know, make Italian sausage?
Huh?
Does he make Italian sausage? Does he pack Italian sausage?
Yeah, he makes all that stuff. It's processed meats. Okay, like deli meats and stuff like that.
Oh, I gotcha. No, Mike, I don't think he does. Do we have any other callers on the line?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact,
let's get some people on the line. Let's have a godly survey. Let's get some people on.
Okay, here we go. Number one. Okay. Try another one. One. Okay, that's it for the callers.
There's no more? One of these days we got to figure out who these echo calls are from.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I'm being good, so I will not say anything. We'll just leave that one alone. Is Mike Hunt still on the line? Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, not too bad. I got my aches and pains, but I'm hanging in there. How are you feeling health-wise? You doing all right?
Hanging in there, just staying to myself and staying quiet, you know, just living life, you know. That's all you can do.
Yeah. You doing anything special for Halloween?
I will be taking my daughter out, but other than that, I don't know. Sometimes what I like to do is dress up in, like, horrific costumes and scare small children, but, you know, hey, it's okay. And then I'll steal their candy, and yeah, you know, fun stuff.
What do you think about...
Kenny, I would never do that. But no,
What do you think about Tony Gaga, Uncle Tony, coming back to do a Halloween show? Are you excited about that?
Is he actually doing one? I don't know. I missed last night.
I'm hoping.
I'll see it when I believe it. You know, he said that he'd come back on 16 different times and hasn't. So, I don't know. I think the only reason why he came on is because of the other two did a show last night and he got upset. So, whatever. I think he's done. But that's just my opinion.
I talked to him just a little bit last night, and he was in a really bad mood. He was saying that Farrar is a Marin, a male Karen. He was going off on a tangent about Farrar. I don't know what Farrar did, but, yeah, I guess Farrar is a Marin, and he's saying he's coming back and this and that. And so, but, yeah, he still has a bad attitude, I think, but he's going to come back and – we'll see what happens. I'm sure he's going to get some callers that give him a little bit of shit for being gone, running away from us. But I was telling Ken, we appreciate Ken for doing shows consistently.
Absolutely, Kenny. I got to say, you know, from the bottom of my heart, you know, thank you for keeping the community together. I mean, you know, we've all tried to respect your show, and we understand it's a godly show, but you've kept the community together and allowed us a platform to all congregate on. And, you know, you've been a great sport about things, Kenny. We love you.
Well, thank you. We got some more callers here. Let me see if hopefully they're not echo callers. Let's try another 111. 111, you're on here.
Kenny.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about something that was said previously by Mike Hunt. And I want you to talk about ethanol, the deadly drug. But before that, I want to touch on what Mike Hunt said. Hello, my son, first of all. I wanted to say, when he talked about the cows, I am similar to those cows. If you blow me, milk will come out of me as well. Kenny, but you know that already, right, Kenny?
You're a sick man. Goodbye. Okay, another 101.
Hello?
101, you're in here.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
I'm okay. That that last caller talking about making the milk, that was, I don't know about that call. But anyway, I'm glad I could play a small part in bringing Tony back last night on the program. I don't know if you're able to listen to it or not.
No, I didn't get a chance to. I fell asleep.
Well, were you asleep all day?
So how did it go? How did it go?
Well,
did it go okay?
In the end, I think it was very apologetic and explained why he's been such a weirdo for the past months. But Jeff is right. You don't know if it's going to be if it's going to stick or not, but I think at least there's a chance that he might start coming back more often now.
Yeah, okay. That's good. So he wasn't dead after all.
No, I think there was some miscommunication, some misunderstanding. But he appears to be alive now. Possibly
he is resurrected from the 10th
yeah,
day.
Kind of like Jesus.
Oh.
Ken, I got a bunch of, this is a different subject. I got all these Indian people around me shooting off fireworks tonight, and it's really obnoxious. Is it okay to go over there and shoot them with a gun?
Oh,
no, it's not.
Some kind of Indian holiday right now.
You
got massive cannons are shooting off in the air, and now I'm hearing firecrackers. Holy crap, it's pretty late for this. All right, well, what else is going on with you, Ken?
Well, nothing much. Just hanging in there, doing shows.
Are you planning on having a special Halloween show or any Halloween event on Monday?
Oh, I plan on does Halloween fall on a weekend this year?
No, it's Monday.
It's Monday this year. Yeah. More likely I'd probably do a show on Monday.
Doesn't Tony Farrar dress up and pass out candy at the door?
He doesn't dress up anymore, but he does pass out candy.
I think you should put on one of his G-strings and just open the door for the kids and hand out the Three Musketeers or whatever.
No, he doesn't wear G-strings anymore.
Are you going to have that party, that R-Dash Halloween bash that we heard about last year?
No,
Halloween?
I'm not. No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to have any R-Dash bashes.
Well, I bet Grover will be upset with that. Maybe he'll call in later. He's probably
maybe. Who knows?
Ken, you got any other calls?
I got another 111 call. Let me take it and see what it is.
Phone
111, you're on the air.
Stop being a bitch, Kenny. Don't hang up on
that, me. That's a bitch. That's a bitch. That's a fake passer. Okay.
Why are you cutting him off? Leave him on. Leave him on.
Nah. I don't want to hear his voice.
Why?
Yeah, don't want to hear him.
Well, if the real Kent
If
he's the real Kent won't come around anymore, we'll just have this Kent. I hope the other Kent comes back though. He needs to come back and share his message. It was you're a dynamic duo, the two of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm sure the donations.
I thought we were doing pretty good,
but
every now and then he hasn't got a thick skin. He's too weak.
Well, that's kind of harsh to say. He's weak.
Evidently, he runs away every time.
Well, you were if somebody told called you a sugar cookie or something, you'd probably not like it either.
Well, but I wouldn't run away.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. You got your Halloween candy picked out already? You got it bought?
No, we haven't got it yet. No, we didn't go Halloween shopping yet.
I bought a bunch of candy about a month ago, and then I ate it all. So now I got to buy new candy.
Yeah, that figures, though. If you buy it a month ago, you're probably going to eat it.
Yeah, that was a bad mistake on my part. Ruining my girlish figure.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to call it a night here, guys. Again, I want to say thank you, Johnny, for calling in. And I'm looking to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama. Okay, I was hoping you'd call in tonight, but you didn't. So, anyway, God bless everybody. Have a wonderful night. Who knows? I might do a show tomorrow, and I might not. Never know. Stay tuned. God bless.